Rastax, good morning.
You hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
No. Right. Good morning. A blessed day to you.
Hey, to you too, sir.
Right. Mr. Johnson, that gentleman make my day that you just talked.
Dr. Leroy McLean. All right. Leroy McLean, PhD.
Jeez,
let me call him that for those who think
hear
he's
me.
A medical doctor.
I feel like I win a little lotto.
Spread it
for
around
real.
There.
That man said things that I've been seeing, but in a more scientific way. I talked to your man there on Africa, and he was mad. Asked me if I got data, this thing and the next, you know? Anyhow, make a long story short. For many years, I saw Mr. Hoffa was his lecturer and this in agriculture. So when he was the prime minister, he should have had everything done to agriculture that he need doing almost. The point I really want to make, what has happened to us here in Barbados, we like people from a big country recommending things for us to do it. There's nowhere all these plantations that we have growing bush and everything other than sugarcane or fruits and vegetables, it should never happen. The Minister of Agriculture said that there's been a 12% rise in produce. I ain't even want to say nothing much on that. But see, make enough emphasis on an old market that unless you got things to put in it, it's useless, or you're going to import things for the vendors to put in it. And at least 50% of the things that should go into that market, we could grow here in Barbados. I see it on this program. If you don't do the things that is right, he's going to be the worst ever minister of agriculture we ever had.
Sir, but the problem we face, not only in Barbados, unfortunately, the problem we face in the region is this. We still see agriculture as hard labor, poor pay, and no prestige. That's the problem. People in the United States talk about the acreage they own. 500 acres, 600 acres planting what? Corn. One thing. 2,000 acres, 1,000 acres planting what? Grapes. And they boast about it. I have a farm, you know, 400 acres. I have to cross the road with my tractor to get from one side to the other side. And them big up, we call them big up landowners. No. Something is wrong with that picture?
If we continue to see
agriculture, our owning of land and using our land productively as being poor, low pay, no prestige. So as Dr. McLean asked, they asked, you going to study about sheep?
A big educated man
like you, sheep? Yeah, right.
I didn't want to show how good black belly sheep is. Huh? So if you didn't,
if somebody
research,
bring it in,
we wouldn't be able to talk about it.
Huh? If somebody bring it in from somewhere else.
Oh, Lord. A friend of mine told me he sees some crossing a street, black belly sheep in the United States, yeah. And the road blocked.
Yep.
Yeah, man. That means the road is blocked, these big set of sheep. So somebody is smart enough to come down here and grab some black belly sheep and go on up the road and rein them better than we did down here. All right, the real thing that I really want to talk is about at the end of the day, how we just say we want to do this and we want to do that. I see on this program already, the government spend millions of dollars sending people all over the world to do agriculture, and then when they come back, they don't get to put what they practice into natural, you know, doing everything and working it out. Mm-hmm. I jumped just now when the gentleman said Mr. Arthur was one of his lecturers. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Mr. Arthur, that I'm so sorry to my dad that I can ask him why he didn't do better in agriculture when he was minister. So I'm watching now to see what my good friend Miss Molly is going to do with agriculture, with all the plantations we got the government owned. Skipper, one of the easiest things in the world to grow is carrots. We just import millions of dollars in carrots. One of the easiest things to grow is carrots. So I want to see what my great man, Mr. Indoria, instead of talking about markets and the vendors mall there, the market does be locked down every Monday morning. So I only hope it could get unlocked so the people in there won't get vexed and start protesting like the rest. Thanks for your time, Mr. Johnson. God bless you.
Thank you as well, sir, and the same to you. This is Dr. Brastax. 434-1790. Brastax, good morning. Hey, hello.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson?
It is.
Yes, please. The definition of independent nation, I would like to know the definition of independent nation. The reason why I ask that question is, since Barbados become independent, I see no form of none of the leaders ever try to bring us into that place. We will be independent. And why he said that, we import 90% of our food. I could well say 90% of our food. I saw a program a couple weeks ago that we will be growing food in Guyana. I want to know if this year would be profitable. If it would be profitable for me to grow food in Guyana and how it will get here. I will understand that it will come here by shipment, but will it be feasible for me to plant food in Guyana and then bring it up here? When we have so much agricultural land where we could do greenhouse, we just got acres of land here that just lying in grass. We could use greenhouse gardening. I see a lot of opportunity in Barbados, but you see what is happening in Barbados? We are running marathon in sand. We are running marathon in sand. We can fail because we are not looking at the way forward. As Mr. McLean said just now, we are not looking at the way forward. Our way is to jump on the bandwagon, or we can get it from here, we can get it from there, but we are not helping ourselves. Everything we are looking at, we want it from outside. Put back Barbadians in employment. By doing so, there's so much things that we can do to put back Barbados in a place where we can be independent.
Do they want to do the jobs that would be required for them to do that? These jobs that you're talking about. Would they want to do it?
Mr. Johnson, we're in a situation now that we don't want to do things. We're in a situation where we don't want to wear a mask. We're in a situation where we don't want to go into supermarkets and get our hands sanitized and all this sort of thing.
Correct.
When push, we are a critical state now. When is a push, and we have to use our initiatives as a nation. We want leaders to take us in the right direction, Mr. Johnson.
So, let me share something with you, okay? That, to me, is fascinating. I know an elderly lady. She is retired. She doesn't have a job. She gets a pension. She goes into town every Saturday. One Saturday, she goes into town. She pays her bills. She pays her telephone bill, her water bill, her light bill. She pays people and gets things. The next Saturday, she goes into town. She don't have a cent in her pocket. She catches the bus because she has a card, so she doesn't need a bus fare. And you ask her why she goes into town. She may not answer you, but she goes into town. If you catch her at around 1:30, 2 o'clock on a Saturday going back home, she got more bags than if you and I went into Massey supermarket and spent $1,000. She got potato in one, she got some tomatoes in one, she got some cucumbers in one, she got some celery and some thyme and somebody you know, some piece of pumpkin in one. And you know why? Because she got people. That's what she got, people. Her people.
Yeah.
Her people that she has go by, her people that she has give piece of meat when she kill the pig, people that she has give some eggs when the chicken lay eggs and stuff. That's her people. And the people know that she is their people. So when they see her in town on Saturday, they're going to give her something. So it is not that my people don't know how to do it, you know. It is that some of my people ain't know how important it is to have people. Because as far as they're concerned, them is all miserable people. Them time done. They should stay home and keep themselves quiet. We want to drive the car. We're going to go by Massey. And we got to complain that the things in the supermarket dear. So it's what? Not that we don't know. It's that some of us don't care to know. But what I say to you makes sense? You see that happening? You know that it has happened?
Yes.
Okay.
It do happen.
Okay.
But you see,
okay.
You see the amount of wayside and street rendering we have right now?
Mm-hmm.
Look at it.
That all over that, the place, sir, including that selling
that,
clothes.
That show that there's a pressure point we
including selling clothes.
But watch it. Watch it. Watch this one now, Mr. Johnson. I heard Mr. India in that rear, and he was saying that he and both Mr. Simmons, Gary Simmons,
mm-hmm.
I heard two of them talking about vamping. Mr. Simmons talking about vamping Bristol after hours. And Mr. Indelweir speaking about the market. But Mr. Johnson, there's another problem we have in our country. Nobody ain't seeing the current situation. Nobody ain't looking at that. But how can we have this after hours market in the evening? You think families gonna left home on evenings when Barbados right now at gunpoint? We families are not going to leave home in the evening to go and do the market shopping on evening. We've got to control the crime situation in our country, and it is getting away. I want to say getting away. I don't want to say get away. It is getting away fast, and nobody paying no mind what happening in our country. We are citizens here waiting to see what will happen as far as this crime situation is concerned every week too. And then we want to look good by bringing people into this country, but yet still our crime situation, on the other hand, is getting nasty. Mr. Johnson, have a good afternoon.
I will try my best too, sir. You too. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, how are you?
I am fine, thank you. And you?
Good. I'm not too bad. This is Indar Weir.
Brother Weir, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
The conversation has intrigued you.
Well, I heard the tail end of a conversation you were having with a caller.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking to the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do with being locked down on Monday.
Yes, and he said so.
I thought I would call to give clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Since the introduction of the COVID protocols, we have had to keep the market highly sanitized. And so, therefore, the manager of market and his team met with the vendors at both Palmetto and Cheapside and agreed with them that they would wash down and sanitize the markets early on Monday morning so that they can open around 11 rather than the regular opening time, which probably would have been around 9 also.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is something that some would agree with, some will not agree. But I certainly would not want it to be used as a political football just to kick around. And so, having heard the caller, I have spoken to the manager of markets, and I've said to him, if it is that, even if it is one person that's prepared to call the program or write to anyone of the print media and suggest that the markets are locked down, we are prepared to respond. And so, therefore, I've asked him to look at washing down the markets on a Sunday afternoon. and let them resume regular opening hours.
Okay.
I am not one who stands so high on ceremony that I can't listen to what people are saying and make the necessary adjustments. Yeah.
I don't think it was a criticism so much as a statement of what was happening. Is there a real demand though that says these efforts to sanitize and make the surroundings more habitable is a problem for most of the people who use it? Mr. Way, I think one of the challenges we face sometimes is that when people don't know the reasons for things, they assume whatever they feel to assume. Communication
That's
sometimes
correct.
Is at the root of a lot of this.
Uh-huh.
For example, I noticed that there's been a tour of the facilities across from where I work here, and I've looked at work progressing along that area. With the heavy rains we had yesterday, for example, has anything been identified in that area as a cause for concern? Because there have been times when River Road has flooded. I remember that when Carew died, that was an extreme case, that the water was literally all up to the top of a wall. But with the rains we had yesterday, has there been anything identified in that area as being, perhaps a cause for concern or something to look at? Should we have more of this kind of weather? Or you haven't had anything on that yet?
No, I'm glad you raised that, because it is not only just Fairchild Street, but right across Bridgetown, right across St. Michael, Christchurch, St. Philip, and the Scotland District.
Mm-hmm.
The government has embarked on a drainage program to identify those areas that are prone to flooding and put solutions in place. You may notice that last night when we had the heavy downpour, a lot of Bridgetown, certain areas like Chapman Lane, for example,
mm-hmm.
but I started to see some water quickly
drop. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've lost the minister there for a while. If you can get back to us, please do, because this situation about flooding in and around the city is kind of crucial. With the heavy rains we've been having, there have been flooding in some areas that perhaps are not traditionally known for flooding, and there are some that continue to be a problem. The area of the Globe roundabout, I saw Rendezvous a couple of days ago under heavy water. The area by the post office, heading into Highway 7. You're back with us, sir?
Yeah.
I lost you there for a minute. Yes. You were saying that some areas, the water had run to Chapman Lane. You were talking about the Chapman Lane area?
Yeah, if you look at those areas that were traditionally prone to flooding, the water is now quickly running off because of the solutions that were put in place, including pumping of the areas as well.
Okay.
Fairchild Street would be no exception. Fairchild Street would also have good drainage systems to take care of water runoff. And yesterday when I toured the facility, I told the media then that some of the protocols we are using will change, because one of the things that can lead to flooding is when garbage is not properly disposed of, and it then blocks the drainage system. And we are looking at a brand new garbage disposal system. Equally, we are also looking at a brand new delivery system to all of the stalls in the market area, so that there is a plan in place to make sure that we do not have flooding in the area, unless it is something out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the market hours, because one of your callers mentioned that as well,
mm-hmm.
and he juxtaposed it with crime.
Correct.
And suggested that people will not leave home to come to no markets with their crime level.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is really mixing up a couple of things. Markets have an opening and closing time, and those opening and closing times are designed for people to do their business within given acceptable times and move along.
Mm-hmm.
The facilities are designed for people who have always gone to the markets and people who will now be attracted to going to the markets. But there has not been any move to have markets open beyond certain hours that people will start to complain about the risk of leaving home because of crime. And equally, Barbados does not have the sort of crime that people should be housed up and be afraid to leave home. I don't think that is what is happening in Barbados. And whilst we might have pockets of crime that would have affected certain Barbadians within, living within certain communities, I generally speaking, the gunplay that we have in Barbados has not reached the stage where you can't go to the market or you can't risk going in town. Those things are exaggerated comments for whatever reason, and really and truly need to be sanitized to the extent that we don't put fear in Barbadians unnecessarily. I give Barbadians every assurance that the markets will have good security. And that is also one of the things that we're looking into for when we reopen Fairchild Street. But the whole area, including Golden Square, is going to be an area created that will bring about a refreshing change to Bridgetown. We will have that park feel with the benches and the trees where people when in Bridgetown can find somewhere to relax. And these things are necessary within a modern city. If we're ever going to bring back Bridgetown.
Can't say I disagree with you, Minister. I, for one, would love to see the city alive and bustling. I recall coming along River Road here sometimes on a Friday night was as busy as midday shopping on a Saturday because people were relaxing after hours and enjoying a beverage, and the scent of things cooking is something that I always enjoyed. St. James in Trinidad was called the city that never slept because you could, or the city that never sleeps because you could leave a fete at 2 o'clock in the morning and go and sit down and have a whole meal. So those things are something that I've enjoyed in a previous life, and I don't see why in the current life we should not be able to do it. I honestly, I'm one of the people who are disappointed by the fact that we drive into Bridgetown at 7:30 in the morning and we leave Bridgetown at 4:30 in the afternoon. It is unfortunate.
Correct.
It is unfortunate.
So
I would like to see it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The other thing, though, Minister, and this is the point I think perhaps you need to get across to those who may have concerns. Lighting, security, cleanliness. The three things I think that would sell a rejuvenation of Bridgetown. Those three are, I think, crucial. Once people are assured that they are safe, that the lighting is adequate, and that it's clean, I think they you know, gravitate towards it. Just as they go to Oyston's on a weekend. It could be done.
I agree it can be done, and it's not lost on the government. I believe through collaboration with BTMI, BTII, the Ministry of Commerce, and the Barbados Chamber of Commerce, to mention a few of them, who are already in discussion in terms of how Bridgetown can come alive. You will note that the former Minister of Tourism brought back the area down there by the Bridgetown
Port.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that came alive. It started on Fridays, and it was really a hive of activity going down there. So mm-hmm. This is sending to me the right signals that if we can do what is being asked for, Bridgetown can seriously make a comeback. I am excited to think that comeback will be after 4:30 in the evening, where people are able to sit maybe on the outside of a restaurant to have a drink or a meal, mm-hmm. and those kind of things we need to look at that would draw people's attention to something that is new to Bridgetown. The lighting, I agree with. We absolutely have to have proper lighting. The city must be clean. And, you know, people will come out once they're coming out to something that is refreshing and something that is worth coming to. And these things are certainly not lost on the government.
Thank you very much, sir. That's Minister of Agriculture in the way, responding to some of the earlier callers on Down to Brass Tacks. Good to have you with us, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I am all right, sir. And you?
I'm good. The family all good, too?
They're all good, sir.
Good. I just heard all the youngster just now, and he was talking about nobody, like, they don't care about Barbados, and he was talking about interesting things about, you know, trade and agriculture and things like that. But I want to say to him, that there's one man in Barbados that always care and always challenge the ignorance of this country is Mohamed Nasser. I want to go to another thing here now. I just heard the minister speaking there. And, you know, all these people are very intelligent people, you know, when it comes to thinking and articulating and challenging things. The reason why they run themselves into trouble all the time is because they do not understand that there are serious, practical thinkers that God has put in every country. And they, with their academic ability, God to be able to sit and have discussions with them to move a country forward. I am not saying this with no boast or no bragging. This is all right. Look at the people in Parliament and the ones even before. Well, I ain't seen a super brain in there. But I know this, though, that if they will sit down and have talks and discussions with practical thinkers, that they will run the country real well. All of a sudden, every time we win a government, the people that win the government believe that they've got all the knowledge. And the knowledge is not in Parliament. The knowledge is for parliamentarians to have discussion with practical people in the society. They don't have to agree with all they say. Matter, they don't even have to agree with 20%, but at least the 40% would make the country better. Now, you realize the amount of crime that's going on in Barbados every minute, or young men getting killed, or sometimes the young women too, but mainly the young men. And every time I look at it, I work out one simple, simple thing. The problem why there's so much crime in Barbados amongst young people and so much killing is because the people are becoming more and more hopeless every day. And we have to find somewhere to give them hope. And you cannot give them hope by telling me that you can beautify Bridgetown and you can bring back all this life to Bridgetown. No. You have to give them hope by making sure that when you beautify Bridgetown and so and bring it back, which is all right, which is good, that the people have business to run, to work they can get and business they can do. So we have to break up the system and let more people be able to control some of the wealth of the country. I do not understand why it's so difficult for people to understand that. Look at tourism now. I am one that sorry that tourism dying, and I hope that it will come back. But I also know that if we were using agriculture and manufacturing and demanding into a sector that they must use the products that produce in this country and then what they can't get to bring from outside, that we would not be in the crisis that we are in today. I also know that all the manufacturing money would be in Barbados and all the agriculture money in Barbados, but we don't even know where the tourist dollar is. And we got to be serious about what we are doing. It's nothing to do with dislike for people. It's nothing to do with dislike for no party or no government. It's something to do that you cannot believe that when you win a government, that you suddenly is the god of the people. And whatever you say is law and nobody else in the country can't say anything about it. These things got to change and we will have a better country. And don't worry to come telling me the forces about you're not to say anything against A or B. I am not saying anything against anybody. I am talking in the interest of Barbados. The government of the day have to watch out carefully what is going on. We are seeing some things in Barbados that is not normal. And it's not normal because we are not taking the brains that we have from this university and linking it with the practical developers, the technical, skillful people in Barbados. Because, Mr. Johnson, I know that no technical development has come from the university. What the university do is, which is great, to take it after ensure that it has potential, and with their academic ability, they can take it and move it to a higher height. And I cannot understand why government after government after government cannot understand that as a simple, simple thing to do. How can we continue, Mr. Johnson, to live the way we are living? Where now we are panicking, where tourists has gone, no agriculture, no manufacturing, and all the work that we are doing, most of it going to a minority group of people. And nobody's saying anything because you say that you don't like the government. Nobody's saying anything because you don't say that you don't like the prime minister. Nobody's saying anything because you say that you don't like white people. No, That never bothered me and will never bother me. I am saying to the Prime Minister of Barbados that there got to be some economic adjustment in this country where black people can get better deals in Barbados. Black people got to spend their money more with black than other color than white people so that we can bring a balance to the economy. Not if we want to hurt them or put them out of business. I would hate to see white businesses collapse and fail, but I cannot accept that we must allow black people to fail all the time. And every time you say, oh, you know, there's a majority, you know, that's because we're the majority. America, the majority of people is white, and still black people are catching hell. In Italy, the majority is white, still black people are catching hell. In England, the majority is white, still black people are catching hell. But in Barbados, the majority is black, and black people are catching hell. So
the reason is very simple, Brother Nassim. Every time we have this conversation, I point this out to you. Our business plan is based on buy it, mark up, sell it. And if we continue to buy it from the same people who you have just said keep getting richer, they will continue to ensure that you do not succeed using that principle. Brother Nasser, right. we had an institution in Barbados called ICBL. That's the latest one on the market. The Insurance Corporation of Barbados, ICBL. It was ours. It was bought out by another company. They bought 51%.
Yeah.
Right. It's just been bought out by another company that buy out that 51%. And they're trying to buy out the rest of the shareholders.
Correct.
The shareholdings of ICBL was on the market in Barbados for $3. That was the market value. Do you know the other shareholders are being offered less than $1 for their shares? 80-something cents U.S. for their shares. You know they will sell it, right? Good. That is what happens to our businesses. When you see, you set yourself up where in order to sell something in Barbados, which is why I said to one of the previous callers that they're selling clothes by the side of the road as well. Our business model is go to Miami or go to Margarita or go to St. Martin or go to anywhere on a cruise, buy it at a cheap price, bring it in a barrel, avoid paying taxes if you could, and sell it for what you could get it at the best possible price. That is the principle. If you have a situation where somebody in Barbados manufactures peanuts and decide, I am really good at peanuts, I am going to go to Trinidad and sell my peanuts. And Trinidad has a company selling peanuts. That can make it possible to reduce their price to half of what you sell in your Bajan peanuts as, squeeze you out the market, and when you go on, lift back the price of the peanuts because you're bringing your peanuts in a container. They could tie it up on the docks till it close to the expiry date and squeeze you in the way you need to be squeezed. That is the business plan of a lot of people. And then when they go out of business, you know what I said? Man, they know nothing but business. Their business fail. Brother Nasser, that's why I mentioned the old lady that's walking tongue on a Saturday with nothing. All she has is a bus card and she's catching the bus and going tongue. And when she leave in town at 1 o'clock, she have tomatoes, she has cucumber, she has potatoes, she has sweet potatoes, she has piece of pumpkin, because she has people, her people, that she gets to go to every Saturday. That they have a thing working together. You know, she give them eggs when the chicken lay, and she's still living the old time way. So they are people. Our problem is we don't have people, Brother Nasser. If we had people, we would get through. I would be able to call you and say, Brother Nasser, I got a program on Sunday that I want to talk about, you know, men taking care of boys. And you would give me some sponsorship. But if I sit here and criticize Massey and criticize the banks and criticize everybody because I got a big mouth, you think I could go and ask them to sponsor a program telling people how to use their credit card wisely on Sunday? They'll say, not Dennis Johnson. He just get there and cuss me every day. That's the business we are in.
Mr. Johnson, I want to say something quick up here, so you said that now.
Yes, sir.
The reason why we will ship things overseas and we will have problems is because, again, we lack practical thinkers. Barbados, as the economy is, should not have 25 construction companies and to build products to export, and each one got $1 million machine when a $2 million machine could do the work for all 25. Joiners and barbers should not want everyone want a $50 million painting facility when a $10 million painting facility could paint for everybody. Small businessmen, each one should not want a truck. This is a different society, so we have to change it. That's why we're talking about thinkers. You got 25 little small businessmen, each one want a truck. Foolishness. Four trucks will do the work for the 25 men, but they buy 25 trucks. We need to sit down and have discussion with our academics and see if we can get them to understand that the system is wrong. You cannot put a system and let the same system in Barbados, the water in England, America, and then we have to have a different system in the Caribbean. We cannot continue. I remember one time a fellow shipped some furnace from here to Trinidad, and when I got to Trinidad, all the paint came off. Then he asked me why the paint came off, and all he had to do was to ask for all my workers. Man, tell me how you all do the paint. Even won't ask me. No, he wanted to do it on his own. He wanted to show that he could export too. Mr. Johnson, nobody should try to invent the wheel, especially when you're a small country. I am asking Barbadian businessmen to mobilize themselves and import together. Mobilize themselves and see what equipment could do to serve 20 instead of having 20 pieces of equipment and wasting money. There's a lot of thinking have to go on and discuss. And then the academics could look at it and say, well, you know, at this point don't make sense, but that wouldn't make sense. And we could then go forward. Anybody that believes Barbados could function the same way as the United States, England, and Britain, and France, these kind of places, they're head crazy. And at the same time, we have to be able to produce and export. So we have to turn the country into one industrial plant for whatever we want to deal with, and the same that apply to agriculture. That's all they're trying to explain this country. You know, brother, you cannot...
Brother Nasser, let me tell you, I understand your passion, and I understand what you're trying to do. And I'll tell you why I have become a little disillusioned sometimes with the fight. I remember the late Eric Eustace Williams saying that they should take the bauxite from Guyana, they should take the bauxite from Jamaica, they should ship it to Trinidad, and they should set up, you could never get aluminum, right? He used to call it the aluminum smelter in Trinidad, because Trinidad had the wherewithal to provide the energy. Correct.
Right.
Right? Canada didn't do it. Jamaica didn't do it because they wanted to do it on their own. This collaborative effort has failed at the political level, and that's why at the grassroots level, people are afraid to take the chance of doing it, because they say if our big brain politicians fail, we are doomed to fail as well. And that's the... Of course it's not true. I just tell you about the old lady that has walked through town and go to her people and get through. But we refuse to learn from our people. John, my technical operator, sorry, John, our producer and technical operator said to me, it's because we're being taught by other people. And, you know, that's John's way of telling me what it is I am trying to tell you. Sir, as long as we're not in a situation that is crisis-driven, we'll continue to do what we're doing. When it gets to crisis level, we're going to look around for the lifesaver. And if we don't have a lifesaver, we will drown. As usual.
Mr. John, give me a minute, a second, if you could. You know what next that one doing by this too? When all these big functions that the government hold and got only the sophisticated people at, they should got some practical thinkers, people who could talk and have discussions. I've been all over the world, and I'm looking for a position for me. But I went all over the world and talked with the best, and they always want to talk with me, so I know I can't be a fool. That's why I take on any of them in this country.
All right, so this is Down to Brass Tacks.